You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Game of Thrones After Show. A lot of crazy stuff happening this episode. This episode is intense. But first, the lovely Kristen Snyder across the table.
Hello, hello. So happy to be here today.
Hello, hello. And next to her, Kyle Maddock.
Hey guys, happy to be back once again. What?
Kristen's like, presenting
like,
him.
I was like, what's happening?
Dan awaiting you.
Oh,
right
thank
now.
You.
That's what that's called.
And next to me, the lovely Autumn Chiklis.
Hello, hello, everybody. Very happy to be here.
And guys, I'm Dave Klein. Not getting the introductory.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You were making fun of them for it, so I thought you were above it. I'm sorry.
I'm not above anything. We've learned anything.
Okay.
I'm like Bronn. I would sell myself out for more money. I'm like, I'll just take it.
Yeah, just take it.
The better deal.
Already noted.
So speaking of which, King's Landing. But before we get to that, for people who are probably checking in from iTunes or the live stream who aren't getting to see us, there is an issue with the AfterBuzz TV website right now where the server who's hosting the website basically kind of screwed us over and is just kind of messed things up. And right now we're trying to get it fixed, but that's why there's no live stream. That's why iTunes currently is down. We're trying to get it fixed ASAP. So if you guys are coming here from that and you're wondering why, there's the answer for you right now. We're trying to fix it ASAP, but YouTube's up. So there we go. All right. So let's just go ahead and jump into King's Landing with Tyrion and Jaime having a little talk about Tyrion's triumphant decision last week.
Right.
I mean, I still thought that, I mean, I guess I wasn't really considering his whole arm issue, and we learned that, yeah, he can't even beat a stable boy. But, I mean, it did seem like Tyrion was a bit surprised that Jaime wasn't like, of course I'll fight for you, right? Like, he did seem a bit surprised, like, his brother wasn't going to help him out.
Yeah, which is interesting, considering, I mean, as much of a champion in his own right as Jaime is for Tyrion, I think Tyrion's an intelligent guy. I think he knows that Jaime wouldn't really throw himself under the sword right away for him. I mean, mm-hmm. he already has in a lot of ways, but to ask him to pretty much die for him is a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Tyrion thought a bit like, I know you ladies were talking last week about the whole, the kind of chess game they were playing. Like, oh, if they do select Jaime, then maybe Cersei won't pick somebody who could kill him because she doesn't want him to die. And Tyrion seemed to think that a little bit, too, because he kind of went into, oh, well, we could destroy the whole Lannister line with one swipe of the sword.
Mm-hmm. We weren't off.
Well, the whole Lannister line with one swipe of the sword was also like, I mean, then if Jaime died, then Tyrion would die too. So that's one swipe of the sword.
Yeah, it's like, but they just
two Lannisters, bam,
get back to dad. You know, give it to dad.
She's like, what do you mean you don't want to commit suicide for me?
But it'd be so funny.
We'll be able to see the look on dad's face, but imagine the look on dad's face.
That'd be awesome. But, I mean, speaking of which, we should probably mention it for everyone who does comment on YouTube. I mean, a lot of people who read the books were like, come on, how could you not know? And you guys have to realize, like, while we don't, I mean, like, I know I've screwed up a couple times, but we try not to give out spoilers. So for people reading the comments who've read the books, you shouldn't just be like, oh, isn't it obvious? This is what happens when you know the answer, because then everyone reading the comments is going to get that spoiled. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully we try to keep it comment-free. As much as possible. I mean,
comment free.
Stop commenting. No, I mean, sorry, as spoiler free on the comments as possible for people who do know and who have read the books.
Yeah, I haven't read the books, so don't tweet me spoilers.
I got those too.
Yeah, they're like, you're an idiot. This
Well, no, I didn't, obviously, but now I do.
I'm watching the TV show, so I'm going to be the idiot that I want to go into this being.
Hey,
so it's
to our defense, it is the After Show TV Network. It is not the Book Club TV Network.
Yeah, this is not the Book Club. Exactly.
I probably will go back after watching the series. And
what? I'm confused.
Them.
I thought it was the Book Club. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I probably will go back and
it's
read
like
all
half
of them.
Book Club, half.
No, I mean, I think honestly with that, I think that was a hard thing to predict if you'd only been watching the show. Like, yeah. Oh, well, Cersei's going to choose the mountain, obviously. I mean, if you were watching and really paying attention to the upcoming, the previews for next week, you would have seen the mountain. But maybe you would have predicted, but maybe not, because apparently this is the third actor to play the mountain.
Right?
We've never seen this actor before.
We had one in season one.
Yep.
Then we had one completely different actor in season two. Then he wasn't in it at all in season three. And now here in season four, we have a third actor playing the same character.
I like how they are just, like, huge. So you're like, yeah, I'm sure it's the mountain. Not that we recognize his face ever. But it's like, we don't even need to see his face.
They
like
just recast,
big, muscular guy.
A big mountainous dude.
They have a tendency to do that, though. This is not the first character that they've just kind of recast. And I've been confused by it before. There have been times, I mean, with Daenerys.
Like Dario.
Yeah, with Dario. At first, I was like, is this a different guy? Or is he the guy who... Okay, no, it's Dario. All right, maybe...
Did you guys know we've had three Tommens, too?
No.
No.
Yeah, this is the third Tommen, the one that is now...
Is this so they can keep him a certain age?
I believe they've been kind of aging him up, or they had the first one, and then I don't know the reason of the first recasting, but now that he's playing a more prominent role as the king, I think they wanted to recast him as someone a bit older.
Sexier.
And so when Marjorie was hitting on him, they wouldn't be like
that
little five-year-old.
Wow, the actors go down like characters on this show.
They're
Jeez.
Just going down, I know. Damn. Benioff and Weiss are just killing people like Martin. They got the bug.
They're not just killing off people who need to be killed off. Is it anybody?
Yeah, these people are losing jobs. They can't afford their rent anymore. Come on.
So, talking about people losing things, we got Jaime, who's possibly going to lose his life. Tyrion, who's possibly going to lose his life. And he wants to possibly have Bronn fight for him. He asks to have Jaime find Bronn. And that's also where we find out that the Mountain's going to be the champion for Cersei.
Yeah, we get this strange scene where they're just throwing people at the mountain. Who were those guys? Who were those people who were just dying at the hands of the mountain?
They did something bad?
Yeah. So were they criminals? I guess they're not giving them to the Night's Watch anymore. They're just
I didn't even think about that. But isn't Cersei presumably in King's Landing?
Oh, yeah, this they're in King's Landing.
This isn't like the mountains like over like coming back from Harrenhal and ran into some people that he just decided to rape and murder because that's what he does. This is just and Cersei knows about this. She's just watching like, that's my choice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was watching it with my sister Odessa, and in the middle of the killing scene, she's just, is that legal? I don't think it is, but I don't think she cares, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. Is this Gladiator?
It's like, now that Joffrey's gone, we really get to see her be that true one Joffrey, crazy, manipulative, like, crazy psycho killer, right? Like, because if this were him, we'd be like, oh, of course. Like, he's just shooting a bunch of innocent people with a crossbow or something. But now that it's her, and we can kind of just see, like, she's just hurting people into die for no reason. I mean... She says, whatever, he was a monster, but, like, you're exactly like him. He was just like you.
Oh, Apple doesn't fall too far.
No, not at all.
Wow, this is sadistic.
So, Bronn now has also been tainted by Cersei as he enters with some new clothes of his.
Uh-oh. That was so weird. Was that not weird?
What was weird about it?
He was all, like, in these crazy clothes, and, yeah, he's going to get married now. And, of course, like, Cersei put him up to all this. But it was just, like, yeah, I liked him for the same reason that Tyrion did. No conscience and no heart. But, like, at the same time...
So he's acting on it.
I guess, but it's like he's also not that kind of guy who gets married, right?
But, I mean, he's getting... you get something out of it. And like he said... He's marrying the younger sister, and so the older sister and her husband or I guess she's not married, I don't know, has control of the castle, but if she accidentally falls off a horse, then all of a sudden he is Lord Bronn and he has a castle.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where the appeal
is. Yeah, I mean, like, he has all the gold from Tyrion that he needs now, so he's fine at that end. So what do you need? Well, eventually you're gonna want kids and you're gonna want your own lands and things like that, and... That's what you want in this land.
Know.
That's how you keep on raising up. So,
you know,
he's at the top of gold. And he needs to keep on moving up.
And what will gratitude buy him, as he says?
Well, I liked that line because I, too agree that you'd be surprised what gratitude will buy you in world. In our world and that world in general. But to go back to the whole Bronn thing, I feel like not all men in this land want a castle and a wife and children. I think some men... like to be cell swordsmen. I think some men get their power and their love from the end of their sword. And I felt like he might have been one of those men. So, no, I was still surprised and thought it was weird.
Well, he made it very clear that he wasn't when he said, well, can you give me a castle? Because that's obviously what he's asking for. But
I just took it as he just wants to keep on moving up. Yeah. And he'll do it. And he's just the type of guy who'll do whatever it takes. And he just happens to be good with the sword. So he'll use that to his advantage. Mm-hmm. But he makes a good point, which is like about Tyrion's never risked his life for him, so why should I risk my life for you, when I got this great end of the deal? Like, what would you do? You would, cock would be out.
It's like, do you want to fight the scariest man in the Seven Kingdoms or sleep with a possibly good looking lady? It's like, well, we don't know what she looked like, do we?
It doesn't matter.
But it's like, I think I'm gonna go with the lady on this one. But did you? Oh shoot.
Darn. Soft and warm or cold and hard? I choose soft and warm.
Oh,
I was hoping when I said that you would remember. I was like trying to give you time to remember.
Soft and warm. That's I was just a little creeped out by that whole phrase.
In context, it was a bit strange.
We got the invention of the handshake hug in this scene, though.
Of this thing? The, like...
Yeah, like, the handshake hug is what I would call it.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? It wasn't that awkward, though,
I
don't think.
It didn't happen quite like that.
No.
We kind of turned it.
I was writing a note at that point. I'm sorry. It should have been Kristen doing it.
Oh, that thing. Hug. Okay.
This is the handshake hug.
I see what you're saying. So it's that.
The handshake. Yeah, it was awesome, though, to see that between them. I mean, Tyrion was in tears the entire episode, but it was nice to see that friendship is still going to go on. And
is it,
really,
though?
They really had that moment of connection and love.
Well, I mean, it's like Tyrion knew this about Bronn, and Bronn's like, I mean, I think Tyrion understands. I mean, Bronn has a good point. It's like, I can get a castle and a wife, or I can face the baddest ass mofo in the Seven Kingdoms who rapes and murders everybody and has killed everyone in the world. Like, what would Tyrion choose? He'd choose the same thing, and it's just, that's the smart choice. Yeah. And it's like, it really is like giving your life away. As Bronn says, it's one mistake.
Anything could happen, a little mishap, yeah.
Yeah.
And we saw the mountain, he was tearing people up without a shirt on.
Yeah, and Bronn's not a dumb guy. He was like, I can't do this, what are you?
No,
yeah.
We can't do it.
Yeah. And,
but in steps.
I was really sad this whole part. I really did see that friendship between the two of them.
I mean, the friendship is definitely changed at this point. Will it be the same? No, never again. They had good times. It's kind of like they're breaking up, but they're on good terms.
Yeah.
Like, when they see each other, they'll, like, acknowledge each other's presence rather than ignoring each other. But, like, it's not going to be what it was.
I don't know. I think they'll always do. I just think Bronn thinks he's dead man walking.
Yeah, like, if you do that, that's dead man walking. I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... but the whole mountain thing presents new opportunities as Oberyn Martell comes in to chat with Tyrion. And he also he talks about how, well, a lot of people in the comments were talking about how Cersei, her intentions were completely transparent, and they are to Oberyn about it. She just wants to get on everyone's good graces to get Tyrion killed, and he saw right through her. And kind of quips that it's nice to meet a Lannister who has the same goals as me.
And he had the whole justice mini monologue about how he's come to the right place for justice because the people who have wronged him are all in this one place. And it was a very triumphant moment.
So it was. I was like, you can be my champion, like, for whatever.
He is my champion.
Right? As soon as he stepped into this show, I was just like, new favorite character, like, hands down. He's just amazing.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
He, as a book reader, I knew he was going to come in and steal the show because he is fantastic through and through. Just the character all around. I just want to be friends with him. I just want to hang out with him. Like, I just want to go out on the town with Oberyn.
Yeah. Well, that's a good person to go out on the
town. There you go. I mean, can you imagine the craziness that would ensue from that? Oh, get your mind out of that gutter.
We've also seen the craziness that can happen.
Wow.
So Oberyn tells this whole story about how he met Tyrion the first time, which is a good backstory about how Cersei hated Tyrion ever since he was born for the same reason that Tywin did, of her mother dying.
Mm-hmm.
And just this tale that had spread about him being a monster. And he had all these wild rumors that spread in times like this. It's like the game of telephone, where it's just like every time it gets crazier and crazier as you retell the story. And that's what it reached him. So it was really disappointing to find out that it was just a normal dwarf.
That's not a monster. That's a baby.
That was sweet.
But it was really sweet because what was great about it is at first Tyrion said, "Of course, I was the biggest disappointment." But then, as the story ends, you understand that that was actually a good thing. That he was a disappointment.
That was not a monster. That's a baby, and that was really touching in a weird kind of way.
And I think we've established that Tyrion now has two friends, not just Jaime, but also Oberyn as well. After the scene. And then I have a quick question. Did he have sex with Cersei?
Who?
Is that what he said? Oberyn?
No, he was just saying that he met with the hot blonde, kind of teasing, like, "I met with your sister."
Okay.
That's like, because she's still supposed to be, like, the most beautiful woman in the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. So you think there's a friendship there?
Between Oberyn and Tyrion?
Yeah.
I do. I do sense it because, you know, they do have that whole history with the story.
They share enemies
but he's still a Lannister, and for Oberyn, Lannisters are the enemy.
I know, but I just feel a bro-ship. I see, like, I see
an Obro-ship.
Yep, an Obro-ship.
Obro-ship. That was terrible. So I forgot.
I like it too. And I like Oberyn foresee
creates Oberyn as a couple name. It doesn't work very well.
And I foresee another handshake hug in the future between them.
After Oberyn saves him, he's going to be like, handshake.
So Brian or BD331 tweeting at us, why would Tywin use the mountain in combat when he knows Oberyn wants revenge against him? Why risk Tyrion getting a champion? And I don't think, I think it was actually Cersei's choice. It's Cersei who gets to choose the champion because she's the accuser.
Yep.
I think that's why, I think it's just completely her choice.
But even if that is the case, we had the scene earlier when Tywin went to see Oberyn and tell him that he was going to be on the trial, a judge. He did say, he pretty much offered up the mountain to him in that scene. So it could be Tywin and Cersei pretty much giving up the mountain. And so they kind of get win-win. If Oberyn wins, then Tywin gave him what he wanted. And if the mountain wins, then Oberyn's gone. And so Tywin wins out either way,
and we're
pretty
all
much
brokenhearted.
Yeah. It's going to be okay, Autumn.
The rest of the week.
I mean, speaking on Oberyn hating Tyrion, didn't Oberyn mention that he only hates people who he knows were really behind it? So he just particularly hates Tywin and the mountain?
He certainly does.
I think
hate
he basically
two,
mentions
but
that those are the two specifically, and he kind of separates the others.
Mm.
I thought he mentioned that in a previous episode.
Yeah, I don't know how much he separates out Lannisters. I feel like it's kind of a blanket hatred. But he specifically does hate Tywin and the mountain.
Right.
But I believe all Lannisters are kind of.
So let's move further a little bit outside of King's Landing, where we've got Brienne and Podrick. Mm-hmm. And they're at an inn, and it turns out to be the same inn as Hot Pie.
Hot Pie!
We get to see Hot Pie again.
Yeah! Wolf bread.
And actually, Bond's Dragon or Bonnie on the chat, excited to see Hot Pie.
Yes!
They're really excited to see him back.
I was excited. I thought it was his final farewell last time we saw him with the dinosaur wolf bread style. But here he is back. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool.
And getting better at those dinosaur breads.
Oh, man.
Now they just look like wolf breads.
Damn.
Yeah, before
if you guys remember,
like
the quickest way to Kristen's heart is wolf bread.
Wolf bread. Oh.
You guys remember that.
I think I was on that episode with
you
guys
too.
Last season. That sounds familiar. But we get Brienne and Pod eating the pie and learning some information about Arya.
Yeah, so a little twist there that while looking for Sansa, instead they find out where Arya may happen to be, sort of. I mean, they basically just find out that she's with the Hound.
Mm-hmm.
But they get the inkling that, hey, where would the Hound go if he had Arya? Oh, he'd probably sell her to her aunt in the Eyrie, which, what do you know? It turns out that's what the Hound is trying to do with Arya.
Dun, dun, dun.
And it's also where Sansa is.
Yes.
But, I mean, they just think that's possible, but they don't know any of this, so this is all just like
are you certain about this? Nope.
They go on it. Yeah. Well, I liked that Podrick was sort of doing the whole scrunchy face at her, too. Because I, too, was like, yeah, you know what? They probably shouldn't be telling everyone their business when there's money on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So I agreed with him for a moment, but I think she definitely sensed. We got a lot of that this episode, where people being honest to people they wouldn't normally, like the Hound with that other guy, which we'll get to later. It's like, it was weird to see her be so blunt about their mission, and I felt like she definitely saw truth in him and that, you know, he was a good guy that just couldn't shut up until, like, you know, truth was offered on the table. It seems like he's one of those kids who will continuously talk and talk until, like, something real hits them.
See, it's actually intriguing to me as a book reader, because in the books, she doesn't. She actually does exactly what Podrick says. She's mm-hmm. the, and she's the one who thinks that. She's like, I can't let people know who I'm really looking for. And she tries to disguise it.
Not very well.
Not very well at all. And, and people point out to her, like, you realize it's really obvious who you're looking for. So
that's probably why
that's very interesting as to why they would, I guess, maybe to shorten the time.
I think it would be to shorten the time and for pacing. That's what I'd imagine.
Right. What I love is that Podrick was the one who kind of gets all these inklings, because, I mean, at the beginning of this kind of venturing off and this branching of the storyline, he was kind of viewed at as useless and completely, if nothing else, kind of getting in her way. And here he is, the one putting two and two together and saying, well, I mean, who's the only living relative that would be, you know, have any interest in Arya or Sansa at this point? That would be the Eerie, so.
Tyrion taught him well.
Yeah.
Especially how to drink.
And who hates who.
But he's proving his worth, which is exciting.
It's very true.
I like it when the good, decent people like prove their worth and shine through.
I was I liked this scene because I remember it was either last week or the week before when Brienne was like, well, we're going to go through the wall because she has a brother there. And I was like, well, what about her aunt? And in this little tiny scene right here, we had Podrick tell her about the aunt and realize that not everybody knows all the working relationships of the Seven Kingdoms. And Brienne was like, oh, didn't really know that. Okay.
Yeah.
And it was cool that Podrick knew that. For us viewers, it's so obvious, but I guess if you're just around the kingdom, not so much.
Up in his worth a little bit.
Mm. And you have to remember how confusing it was to you during season one when you're like, how many characters are there and who are they and what?
And who's
and
doing
that's
what?
Pretty much how everyone in the kingdom feels.
Speaking of another random character, we get a name drop of another major character here, and I don't know if it's going to be important or not, but they mentioned Walder Frey is now the Lord of Riverrun.
Oh, right.
As well.
Yeah, great point.
And there's just a little kind of name drop thing they did there. But so I guess he's Lord of the Crossing and River Run now.
And we also have this whole thing, which is kind of how people would find out information. It's just that passing information you find out at an inn or brothel.
Yeah.
Or
and somewhere a monster
pub.
Was born with a tail between his legs and a red eye.
It's just,
and...
Yeah, it's just how information is passed, and it's just so different than what we're used to now. So
no Twitter.
That's how everything's passed. What? I don't know what to do with Facebook, where people will just post the news for me. I don't have to look it up. People
I don't have
post
to do
it.
Anything. So you guys, we're to assume that they headed, because they ended at the fork of the road and they went one way. So we're assuming they went towards the Eyrie.
Right. I would assume as much. And then, they don't say anything, but I'm assuming the
Eyrie. There was no signage.
No signage.
Right. I wish that they would have taken, if that's the case, I wish just as an artistic device, they would have taken the road that he was on the side of, because that would have been, to me, more of an indication of, oh, they're going his route.
But you know what route they took?
That's Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Autumn.
They took the right road.
Oh.
They
actually
that's
did true.
Right.
Okay.
I have no idea if that was on purpose, but
it totally could have been. I mean, those are the kinds of things that directors have to think about when they're, you know, telling a story.
Yeah, I mean, to somehow indicate it too, when you don't have that visual aid of a sign. But
it's just this way too eerie.
So with a big thumb point.
Directorial choice.
So let's go ahead and move over to Arya and the Hound are in the same vicinity. As we talked about them looking for Arya, and as you were mentioning, they come across this burnt-down house, as Kristen was talking about, them being honest, as they find a burnt-down house with a man who's dying, and they just start being really open with him.
Really
like,
open.
Really open. Was like,
Arya's just like, this is who I am. I'm Arya Stark. You know, what's going on? It's like, who was the last person she told that to?
It's
probably someone right before she killed him.
It was like Gendry
maybe at the inn did she say that? Like before she got captured by the Brotherhood?
I'm not sure, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
It has been a while. So this was big.
I think they probably knew they were going to off him.
Yeah.
But honesty to a dead man, that's really... It's cool.
It's nice.
It was nice to see that they're capable of it. Mm. Still.
Yeah. Well, especially the Hound showing some compassion by giving the man water when that's what he wants. And then, I mean, they don't really say it, but they talk about a little more in the book that to him, he actually wants to die, and he wants the gift of mercy. And that's what the Hound is essentially giving him, is the gift of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I think, what the idea was supposed to be.
He's like an angel of death just running around.
Yeah, he's got a new nickname.
Yeah, exactly, both of them. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. She's brutal, huh?
She... once again, Odessa, you're getting some airtime, but when I was watching it with my sister, she was just like, wow, I mean, I hope she doesn't become a total killer. Odessa, she already has.
Yeah, too late. Yeah.
We totally passed that bolt. Look at her.
Yeah. Well, as the two guys come to try to capture the hound, surprise attack! And they catch him off guard, they hit him in the, like,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, right. They don't talk about him, but the character that bit him in the neck, his name is actually Biter.
And,
he has he's filed down his teeth.
So that was Biter?
That was Lord,
I couldn't
Lord
tell
Biter.
If it was Biter, well, but that would make sense.
In the previously on, they showed the scene with them in the back of the Yorn's truck with Jake and Hagar.
I was trying to look for how to fast forward because we were kind of running late.
He files his teeth so that they're just
That's his thing. And he traveled with Rurge before, as Kyle was saying. Actually saw them a couple seasons ago traveling with Arya. In the van. They were the ones in the prison cell who were locked up with Jaqen H'ghar.
Yes. And then they were taken into Tywin's army at Harrenhal during the time when Jaqen H'ghar was killing all the people for Arya. We do see that. Because I think Jaqen and the two of them are kind of around a bit during that part.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, all right, that's good to know. That I was like, Raj. So, wait, was it? Because I just didn't recognize Biter. That's
yeah.
Good.
Well, right. Hence the biting. You know?
Right, yeah, it makes sense. And he rips off a nice chunk, as you see.
Yeah,
he gets
a chunk, and then Hound, like, WWE's him around the neck.
But let me just point out, Raj isn't the worst person. I mean, he's not the best guy in the world. If Arya's going to kill someone, Raj is... probably a good person to die.
Yeah, he was in the black cells at King's Landing, so he's done something pretty bad.
Yeah, he's there for a reason. But Biter.
I really liked, though, that she's learning and taking his lessons to heart because... I'm punny. she literally, after he shows her this is where the heart is, she just, you know, attacks it. First try is a win for her, and she moves on to also wipe her knife, her sword, the needle, just like he did on the guy. So that was really cool.
Oh,
really?
That's good. I missed that too.
It was a nice detail.
Yeah.
Nice.
Another important thing we get here, which they don't really mention, they don't talk about yet, at least, but they find out that Joffrey's dead. Mentioned there. So this is them finding it out. They didn't know that before.
I like wanted her to dance a little bit, but nothing.
Mm. I know, especially knowing that Macy's a dancer.
One less name to say at night. It's exciting.
Yeah.
And we have that cool line where she goes, is he on you? When the Hound says, is he on your list? And she has that great moment where she goes, no, I don't even know his name.
It's not possible.
Possible. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Think of all the sleep she's going to get now with not having
one less name. It's like a whole, like, extra 5 seconds.
So that amounted, like...
Every day, five extra seconds. So the Hound is injured, and Arya is trying to help him out with fire. Not a good idea with the Hound.
But him
really opening up to her in this moment. And we heard this story before from Peter Baelish telling Sansa in the first season.
Did Peter Baelish tell Sansa about the Hound?
Yeah, that was Peter Baelish. Yeah, okay. He just, like, whispers it into her ear, like, but don't mention it. No one's supposed to know this. And kind of backs off, and you're like... Mm-hmm. Why are you telling her this, Littlefinger? This is weird. It's like your first weird thing from Littlefinger.
It's weird.
Yeah,
especially around Sansa, as we see later. We'll have that reaction again a little later.
Okay. Yeah, he really opens up to her, though.
He does. I love... This relationship is just so there's so many layers to it. I love it. Mm-hmm. She wants to kill him, but she's helping him, and she's learning. It's kind of like teaching, and it's so much stuff going on. I love it.
She's like that caring brother he never had.
Mm. Aww. But what's interesting is she does say the Hound at the end of her list, and yet he's not treating that wound the right way. If she really wants him dead, you just let that fester for a while.
Yeah.
I think she's kind of slowly turning, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was kind of the point of that scene, was when she does clean it off and start, you know.
She'll probably say one letter less every night.
Hun. You know what I was really hoping as she started cleaning the wound? That while she's cleaning, it's this nice, sincere moment. She leans in towards his ear and goes, and just whispers it, and then the scene moves on. That would be fantastic.
We got all these suggestions. There we go.
I feel like he's going to have to eventually brave fire to save her, and that she will help him get over his fear of fire eventually.
I don't think he's going anywhere near fire.
That'd be sentimental and lovely.
Mm-hmm. Hook that!
It doesn't sound like Game of Thrones.
There's
at all.
A lot of time between now and never, Kyle. Yeah.
Oh. Wow, good point.
Nice.
Good point.
Drop them.
Kyle dismissed.
Touche.
I'm out.
You've been eliminated from this podcast panel.
Turn this thing off. Just turn the light
off. It's now an elimination game show thing.
I didn't realize that we were all signing up for trial by intellectual combat.
It'll be like a new thing. This is now a game show after show.
Trial by intellectual combat Game of Thrones.
I dig it.
And then you actually have to have a trial by combat afterwards in the studio.
Right here.
I'm game.
Of Thrones.
I throw knives and I'm an archer. I don't know if you want to be game.
I'm game.
What?
Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, if you guys ever want to shoot arrows with me.
I do.
I want to shoot arrows.
I will teach you.
I used to do it in Boy Scouts all the time. I love it. I'm not great at it, but I love doing it.
See, I have my like little earring cuff, and it's a bunch of arrows.
That's awesome.
But I digress.
There you go. That's
arrows
like Angai from
studio.
The Brotherhood. There you go.
Yeah. Angai's awesome.
We're dangerous up in here.
Nice.
And we're only going to get more dangerous as we talk about the wall.
Nice segue.
Triumphantly triumphs back.
Who does?
Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Sorry, I was thinking about Ghost. All I care about is Ghost.
Ghost is back, and Alistair immediately, like, you can't have a mirror. Alistair's now, like, in charge of everything, it seems.
Yeah, he's kind of acting Lord Commander, I guess. Yeah. Until the choosing, I believe they called it.
Yeah, and I feel like by him being like, yeah, he's got to be caged, that's like a foreshadowing to maybe when he shouldn't have been caged, because maybe he could have saved somebody's life, because...
It's pretty much all the time with Ghost.
Yeah. Don't cage a warrior.
Yeah. So, I mean, what did you guys think about John's plan, though? He wants to block the tunnel to try and prevent, as he's seen the giants, he's like, let's not have them come through and do anything we can to prevent that.
Obviously, he's the only one with the proper knowledge here, and no one's going to listen. So, I feel like what can he do? We're all just feeling the frustration that he's feeling right now, because we were with him, and we know what's beyond the wall. We know that they should be listening to him, but yet none of them have the knowledge and experience that he does. So it's like they're going to fall if they don't start listening to him, and it seems like they're going the wrong direction.
But, I mean, Yarwick, the first builder, doesn't believe him. Also, isn't the first builder long dead?
The first builder.
Who ran the builder? Who built the wall?
Yeah, I mean, like, I thought that he was the first builder. I guess it's just the title they give to anyone who's the current builder.
Yeah,
the
current. Seem that way.
But
it's like first chair in orchestra.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry,
that's
my
nerd's
showing.
No, that's fine. That's actually a great point. Yeah, I guess I always thought of it as just, like, Bran is... That's, like, what I always thought was
ever-changing. You're wrong, Dan.
But, yeah, that's a pretty brief scene, but we just basically get, like...
That's a serious...
Things are happening.
That's a serious thing. They just want to... They want to freeze... Fill the tunnel and freeze it.
Yeah.
And then they won't be able to get north of the wall for,
ever, yeah. Presumably.
I'm on John's side, man. I just believe in him.
Okay.
But he knows nothing.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Kristen, you've been eliminated.
All right,
the perfect quotes.
And then there were two.
Nice.
All right.
Well, we still have that force of wildlings south of the wall. Children, let's get back. No.
That's true, though. I mean, there is a whole entire force south of the wall. So, I mean, like, at least, like, you block off that one side, the people coming from the north, you can kind of focus in the south. Because they're coming from both sides at the wall.
Yeah.
As you just said, Kyle.
Yeah. And so, even if they block that off, I guess then the wildling south might take the castle, but then they wouldn't be able to do anything with it either. I don't know. I don't know how it all work. They'd have to climb up the wall again.
I'm, like, waiting for Autumn to drop a hot line where I get eliminated. I'm, like, nervous. Shaking in my boots.
Oh, no. So don't be nervous.
Especially now that we're about to start talking about Daenerys. So let's start talking about Daenerys.
I just loved this scene.
Did you?
Do tell.
All right, tell us about it.
Did you?
So you like John, we know, and now you're in love with Dario, apparently, as well. And is that why you love the scene? And you also love Oberyn? Lots of crushes on this show.
Oberyn's at the top of my list.
Okay.
And now, after seeing Dario without his clothes on, he's second.
Okay.
And we're just not really getting a whole lot of snow lately.
We're getting a lot of snow, we're just not getting a lot of John Snow.
He has fallen. Snow.
Oh my god, the puns today.
You're welcome. Yeah, but like, this would win over any girl, bringing her wild flowers to the window, not even the door.
He
no.
snuck into her bedroom.
From the window, though.
That's, so now we know you want
to
win.
Okay, hold on. The difference between, this goes back to the theory that the difference between something that's very creepy and very cute is the level of attractiveness of the person.
It absolutely goes back to that. Absolutely. It's that SNL sketch. 100%.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know. I mean, he put a lot into this.
You know what? If this was like Hodor doing it, you'd be like, Hodor, why are you in my room? And he'd be like, Hodor. And he'd eat
flowers. That's all I would need from him.
That would be.
You know what? So now you know the real way to Kristen's heart is you sneak into her bedroom while she's not there with wolf bread.
With wolf bread. Wolf bread.
And wild flowers.
And don't forget to do your sit-ups before
and be
you go.
Very attractive.
And be incredibly hot.
No, that's not true. I told you guys that I just thought that he had went through a lot to do for, like, he did all that for her. He didn't go through the door. He went through the window. He brought flowers that he swam for. Like,
he didn't go through the door. He went through the window. He did a lot for her.
No, but I do, hold on. I'm going to defend her right now. I do understand. I understand what you're saying, which one, it's very cute and romantic, but we also, he's also kind of pompous and
he's gone to great lengths, and
of course, but he's so arrogant about it.
I think that's what Kristen likes about it.
But let him do what he's good at, you know?
Yeah, man, let him do what he's good at. That's funny.
He's good at two things.
He's good at two. Hey, by the way, she does. She does. Yeah. She's understanding. She.
Yeah, and I was like, I turned to Kyle and I was like, is she still talking about enemies? I don't think so. Because she's like, yeah, go ahead and do it.
And then Kyle wins. I'm really good at that, too.
Yeah.
By the way.
And then I
took and I was just sitting there like.
I was like, ugh.
Like, guys, I'm sitting right here.
Like,
come on.
Get out of here.
Calm down. Jeez.
I don't know. I miss the first Dario. I'm not used to this guy. I feel like what they're writing for, they're writing him to be this pompous, kind of arrogant character, but I don't think the actor's pulling that off.
I thought the first Dario was better with that, too.
I agree.
Yeah. But I don't know why. I guess he was white as well, but he looked, for some reason, he looked more Middle Eastern to me, and I also like that aspect. But people were yelling at me that he's white dude in the first one, but I don't know why. I just, maybe it was tan.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's like the long, didn't he have like,
that
he's
Fabio
like
thing
long
going
hair
on.
And muddy all the time. And I like that too.
The distinction for me is he was a little more pompous and arrogant in a way where he was obviously pompous and arrogant, where this Dario is almost a little more likable in the sense that he's almost a little softer, where the last Dario, he was abrasive. This guy's a little more on the
the last one
size,
spoke
but
less and he did more
I agree
action.
With, no, by the way, I agree with you where I think that that the old Dario fit it more. Maybe it was because I got used to him that way, but it's just, I don't think that necessarily the softness works in this context.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, that softness seems a bit timid to me, and I feel like, why is Daenerys so into this guy? Like, I could see the old one.
Because it's the Khal Drogo thing, too. It's very similar to Khal Drogo.
Well, I felt
arrogance.
Like the first Dario was much
what
more
I mean.
Like that Carl and the Carl Drogo. Carl Jr. Drogo.
And I mean, the softness ends once he takes his shirt off. So.
Oh, jeez. Oh. Wow.
Kristen, you're ever, like, is there something you need to tell us? Like, are you, like, really, like,
anybody have a fire hose? Like, over here?
No, no.
Just, like, really turned on tonight? Like,
no, I was talking about his stomach.
We know that. We know this.
It was a pun.
We know this. So something to kind of point out as a book reader is that this isn't entirely surprising as a book reader, because there are a lot of kind of awkward scenes with Daenerys pleasuring herself or having in the books, or having her servants pleasure her.
The servant's teacher.
Right, it's her servant's teacher. Yeah, so there's like a lot of scenes leading up to this, like, she's really missing that.
Yeah, she is a horny teenager.
Yeah, she's a teenager in the book, yeah.
I mean, isn't she a teenager? I mean,
She is, but she's been younger in the book. So,
she's like 13.
Honestly, I'm really glad we didn't get to see that.
Mm. But you're glad we got to see Daria. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. No, but I mean, it was bound to happen at some point. I mean, Come on. there's only so long you can go once.
He was there. Yeah. She got out drinks.
And like you said, he heard.
For herself.
That was the other weird thing. She just poured it for herself.
Yeah, that'd be really funny.
Yeah, take off your clothes.
This isn't about him.
No.
No,
yeah, definitely.
She
wasn't.
Made that clear.
Yeah.
I especially loved her line at the end once Jorah came in and saw that. And I want to ask you guys, when she told Jorah to tell Daario that he had changed her mind and not that she had changed her own mind, mm-hmm. why did she say that? Is that because she wants Daario to know that he's not the only one with her heart, or the only one, or there's nothing, or like, what is the reason for even having him say that? Is it for Jorah's sense, so that he feels that she still loves him?
It almost seems a little manipulative in a way.
Yeah. I agree.
You know?
She's just trying to keep that power.
Yeah.
I think. Mm-hmm. And I think just to show Daario that this doesn't change anything. I'm still in charge, and I can change my mind. I can do whatever I want.
On the flip side of that, this would be out of character. It's probably more what you guys are saying, but another possibility, I'll just throw it out to the universe, would be she's kind of blaming him for it. Like, not necessarily blaming him, but by saying, he changed my mind, I didn't change my own mind. Mm-hmm. It's either what you guys were saying, which is probably more in character, but an alternative way of thinking of it, I suppose, would be that she's saying, no, tell him that, you know, you did it, so that if he has anyone to be upset at, it wouldn't be her, it would be
That's very true.
That's a good point. That's
but
good point.
I feel like she was saying it so that Jorah also still feels like he's important to her, because mm-hmm. she didn't expect him so early, and clearly that bothered her too, that he was there earlier than he should have been. Of course, she didn't want him to see that Daario was leaving her quarters, and she's like, you don't trust him, and you clearly don't approve. So I just felt like she was also saying it not only for Daario, but more so for Jorah to know that she still cares about him.
I mean,
so keep leading him on?
Yeah.
I mean, there's also the possibility that maybe she just doesn't realize just how much she's leading him on, and she really is doing it for the Daario thing, and she's just toying with him more than she realizes.
I don't think she's toying with him, though. I think she definitely has a love for Jorah, too. It just doesn't extend to the bedroom.
Right, but when I don't know, the way she puts it there kind of is sort of leading him on in that specific moment.
Yeah, you see his smile out there, and he's like, yeah.
Like, in general, I don't think she's been leading him on at all, but in this specific moment it kind of felt that way, like kind of like putting that out there. That
it very well could have been I mean if we're going for the idea that it was with a good intention, it could have been like a, hey buddy, you did good, but he wouldn't have taken it that way, obviously. And I'm actually, you might be very pleased with me, I was frustrated with her this episode for a little bit. Yes, I know. You're so excited. I was frustrated.
I was more surprised.
No. I mean, she still has my heart in a lot of ways. I've not abandoned her. I love her. But she's still my spirit animal. But she is being a bit naive in the sense that she's looking at things a little too black and white, I think, when it comes to.
Yeah, and we should actually talk about, as much as I love talking about hot, sexy guys, we should probably talk about what they're actually
discussing,
which would be Daario is being sent to Yunkai to kill every master. And Jorah points out that, like, you know, it's not that black and white. I mean, I used to be a slave master, so your order would have killed me.
Well, I wouldn't say a slave master. Let's
not a slave master. Okay,
I don't want people to yell at you.
Sorry. No, you're right.
Just a slaver. He sold some slaves.
Right. He sold some slaves. But yeah. I mean, still, like, even so, he's like, if Ned Stark would have had mm-hmm. me killed, yeah. like that, right. it, like that's the comparison. You're not viewing the grays, which were kind of the things that we were talking about the past couple episodes. She's still seeing things in black and white. And so people in the chat have some great comments about that, which is that she is still a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's still learning. Which is a good point. There's a learning curve. As I said last episode, I think it's kind of a hard learning curve because lives are at stake in the kingdom and all that. But, you know, if you have specifics. But like I said, still loyal to her, still love her, and at least she does take his advice, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there's obviously a lot that she has to learn.
Yeah.
And she knows that. I mean, that's why she's staying.
Yeah.
She's like, I gotta learn to rule them. That's what I gotta do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so Dario is going with all the second sons,
yeah.
Which is his 2000 or 200?
I think it was 2000, if I remember correctly.
I think it was 2000.
And there's 8,000 unsullied.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then they're going to Yunkai, and then Jorah's going to just go confer the information to him. Like, don't just give them this option of either you live in the new world or you die in the old.
Well, that's what Jorah convinces her. They're going to take, now Dario has to take his Dar, who's the guy who came in last episode to take the father down from the cross. And he's going to go as my ambassador and tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
So his Dar is going to go with the second sons.
Right. So, yeah. So that's what's going on. Yeah. So right after the scene where Dario starts to take his shirt off, they were like, well, we can't lose all the guy viewers, so let's immediately throw in a scene of Melisandre's boobs.
And nipples.
Oh, right.
Like, immediately afterwards.
It was literally, like, the juxtaposition.
I'm a straight guy, and I was just like, you know what? Like, it's okay. I don't need you to constantly show, like, just be like, the girls can have their moment. You didn't need to just suddenly show naked Melisandre in the bath. It's okay.
This is not TV. It's HBO.
That's true.
It's
we
not
have
porn,
to have constant
it's HBO.
Yeah,
it's
not oh porn. It's HBO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great campaign.
Exactly.
Yep.
This scene was weird.
Yeah.
It was so strange.
I
think any scene with Stannis' wife ends up being really weird.
I really liked it, though, because we kind of got to see some of her lies out on the table, because she was telling Selyse that, you know, these potions and powders, they can make anybody believe anything, and they'll believe that it's the gods. And once they are there, they can actually see for themselves it's the gods. But actually, no. Like, you're just telling everyone that most of the stuff we're seeing is, like, magic.
Okay, and real talk here. Why was she even telling Selyse this?
Right? Yeah. I think she's trying to win over Selyse to follow her.
Oh,
and,
I think Selyse is one of the most loyal followers.
I mean, yeah, Selyse is like knows that Melisandre slept with Stannis, and she's like, I approved of it.
I approve. I'm glad you're here.
She was kind of hoping that she used a powder on Stannis.
Yeah, no, she
though.
Was.
Yeah, she was.
That was kind of cute. But I like that line where it's like, you don't need jokes aren't funny to you because you're devoted to the truth. And I think that's true with a lot of people. I just really like that line. And you don't need the powders. You don't need the potions. You can see through the fire and see truth yourself.
But what was so sad was that it's not true. The odd irony of that is that she's saying, oh, you can see the truth for yourself. And obviously this woman cannot see the truth, but she's like, oh, it's okay, sleep with my husband, it's what the gods want, right? That's what you say the gods want, right?
Well, she makes it sound like there are some things that she, I don't know, I took it as she sees some things, but most she doesn't, and she just makes up most of it. Yeah. But there are a few truths within there.
I don't know.
But yeah, she's
I was talking about, oh my god, Stannis' wife, help me.
Selyse,
thank you. No, I was talking about Selyse.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the lines more so. I mean, I don't. Selyse, she could fall into the whole.
The moon door?
Fly?
Yeah, she can fly. She can fly away. I don't care. Like, she's just like the character who I don't even know why she's in the show. She's one more person that nobody else besides the book readers and people who do podcasts know her name. Mm-hmm. You know, like, she's not someone who's important.
I mean, I think it's just to establish that Stannis has a wife, and for anyone who's like, well, what does she think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and their kid, which actually is really important because that's kind of the whole thing, is she wants Shireen to come with.
Right.
Yeah, that seems to be the whole point of this entire scene, was that Shireen has to go with them wherever they're going.
And that's a great point, too. They're going somewhere. We don't know where, but that is the point of the scene. We didn't know that they were going to go somewhere, but they're going somewhere.
Yep.
Somewhere.
Just so we know.
I think we had a hint of it, the season finale last season?
Oh, did we?
I think so.
Yeah, well.
So.
If we did,
I can't remember 100%, so I don't want to say anything.
Yeah, they're going somewhere. We just know they're going somewhere.
Yeah.
So let's move over to a different somewhere, which would be the Eerie.
Oh,
and
dear.
These are some of these are really, I try.
How do you spell it?
I try really bad. E-Y-R-I-E.
Oh, okay, nice.
Every time, like, since I'm jotting notes quickly, and Eerie comes up, I'm like, I don't know, just E-E-E-R-E.
I really liked these couple of scenes. I felt like there was a lot of growth. And
this was a great moment.
In different characters, there was so much going on here.
So let's start with the beginning where Sansa's trying to kind of make her own version of Winterfell because clearly she misses it.
Damn, that girl can build a snow castle.
Yeah, that's a good snow castle.
Wow, that's almost as good as Hot Pie's wolf bread.
I almost sang Frozen. I almost did it. I didn't, though. I didn't. I showed restraint.
Don't do that here. We don't do that here.
No.
But yeah.
So Robin coming in.
There you go.
Seeing this castle, like, hey, that's a pretty cool castle, but all it needs is a moon door.
Yeah.
Because he loves those moon doors. We can make things fly together, Sansa, when we're married.
I love how sheltered he is.
He's so into the moon door.
He's like, where's the moon door? Oh, it's not there because we're on the ground. And he's like, my God, how you live on the ground? How dangerous is that? It's just he's like, never left this castle. He's
he tries
there.
Also to build himself up. He's like, well, I'm the Lord of the Vale, so I need to be protected because I'm the Lord.
Yeah, how many times did he say, I'm the Lord?
Yeah, I'm the Lord of the Vale.
There you go. What was didn't Tywin tell Joffrey earlier? He's like, if you have to tell people you're the king, it's like you're not.
Oh, right.
Ooh, good
whatever
connection.
That line was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're probably not a very good one. Mm. I loved, absolutely loved when Sansa slapped him because what growth that showed for her character and her developing that thick skin that we've all been waiting for.
I don't know if that's thick skin. I say that her skin was not thick because that hurt her so much that to see Winterfell fall that she couldn't resist hitting him.
Ugh.
Like, usually when you have a thick skin, you don't let things affect you.
Yeah, but
Tyrion, but I'm glad she did.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, Tyrion has a thick skin.
Normally, when people hurt her, she does nothing.
So she's standing up for herself a little bit. Like,
right, she's standing up for herself, yeah.
So seeing her take action and do something where she knows there's going to be consequences, but she does it anyway because it's right and it was what she feels, I love that. I love that she's finally doing that. I saw a lot of parallels with her and Peter and the Hound and Arya because it just seems like next week when it looks like she's going to tell on him, it looks like she's going to lie for Peter. So I feel like she's going to learn now under Peter Baelish, just as Arya is learning under the Hound.
I dig it.
Well, Peter, speaking of which, sees all this. Doesn't give a shit.
He made it weird this episode. He made
weird.
I let it. While I was watching it, I was saying, don't make it weird, Peter. Don't make it. Oh my God, you're making it so weird. It got so.
I could have been your daddy. But I'm not.
So and because I'm not.
And you're even more beautiful than your mother.
Oh, my
gosh. Cop a feel?
It looked like he was at least putting her hands there. It looked like he put his hands there.
I felt like he did.
But you were talking about honesty earlier and how there was an honesty through line kind of through this entire episode. And I feel like this is just another one of those.
Yeah.
Where Peter, it feels like he was being genuine. He's like, I loved your mother more than anyone else. And he's like, you were more beautiful than her.
And
so,
I'd like to think that was a little bit of a lie there. I mean, I think that the majority of that, yes, I loved your mother. I don't know whether or not it was, but part of me, just for the sake of it, was so weird.
I think all of us wish it was less than that.
I think he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that Lysa was watching one.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. He needed to get her close to that moon door. And so he knew she was watching. He knew that he needed to get Sansa on his side. So telling her the truth and telling her that he killed Joffrey for her mother and what do we do to people that hurt the people we love? We kill them. So it's
I think that was honest.
Yeah, that was honest, but he's also using that honesty to manipulate her to be on his side because now she, I feel like, yes, the kiss was weird for her too. It was weird for me. But I
no
think
no sparks
that
on that one.
I didn't yet feel the sparks. Not
yet. That little finger took off his shirt and he had this.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel it now.
Yeah. Take off your shirt and then we'll talk. But but being honest and serious now, I just feel like he's definitely playing her because he wants power. Obviously, we know he'll risk anything and everything. So, yes, he loved Catelyn, but he's just continuing to play this game. And he can tell her whatever he wants. He can marry her. They can have kids, whatever. She's still just another pawn in his game.
That'd be very weird, though. I've used the word weird a lot over the past, 4 minutes, but that's because it is.
Well, when Littlefinger's in the mix, so
that's true. Yeah. And, I mean, it's not the first time. I mean, episode one, we have Jaime and Cersei, and there are a lot of those kinds of things. But I have to be honest, I didn't see that coming from a mile away until he was approaching her.
I did like that Sansa actually, again, with the sticking up for herself theme, she actually asked straight up, why did you really kill Joffrey? Yeah. I like that from her.
Nice.
But immediately this leads to Lysa wanting to see Sansa. It's all good. Lysa's not crazy or anything.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I just want to talk.
Let's have a little chat by the moon door. Don't worry about it.
I know what you did. It's not okay.
No, it's fine.
It's not okay.
Sorry. I hit Robin.
It's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I don't care you slapped my son.
Yeah, I know.
You kissed my husband.
Yeah, I don't care that you hurt my son. I don't care about that.
I don't care.
You whore.
I mean, she has done a lot for Peter, though.
She has done a lot. She is in love with Peter Baelish.
Yeah.
And she has killed for him and done everything for him. And I mean, Littlefinger's been instigating that the whole time.
So I'm really curious to see, as a book reader, and I think I can say this safely, all of this stuff, I really think I can.
I'm like, don't say it. Cover his mouth.
All this stuff happens when Lysa gives her confession to Peter. That all happened during the scene with Sansa standing there and overhearing everything. And I'm really curious how that's going to play out. I'm just curious because, I mean, I really don't know. I really genuinely don't know. I'm just very curious because Sansa actually overhears all those things, whereas in this instance, all she's hearing is that Lysa's killed for him.
Yep.
But in the other instance, she actually hears exactly what it was. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen with that difference they chose.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
really hope that wasn't like anything.
Sansa's probably going to be like, who did she kill for you? What's up?
Well, hopefully she brings it back up, and hopefully she realizes she's the new Lysa.
Yeah. Oh.
Or is she the new Catelyn? But how great was that moment there? Of I've only loved one person my entire life, your sister.
Boom! That was awesome. As much as he made it weird this episode, that was totally worth it to me because that was an awesome moment, and
I was gonna ask you guys who you think Sansa's gonna be. Is she gonna be the next Lysa, or is she gonna be the next Catelyn? Is it gonna be a mix? Is he gonna use her like he did Lysa, but also like he did Cat?
I think I'm gonna go with what you said earlier. I think she's the next Littlefinger.
Oh, Sansa's the next Littlefinger?
Yeah, I think.
He's basically training her to be, a lot of ways. He's trying to teach her.
Like Arya is the next Hound sort of thing. She's growing.
It's interesting to me because, like, Peter's the type of person who doesn't tell anyone anything. And he's kind of, like, starting to tell Sansa secrets and things here. And I'm just like, but it's just like, that's very strange from Peter, you know? So maybe that does mean the love thing's true, but maybe it doesn't. But I mean, it's just strange from his character that someone who's so carefully guarded about everything and so carefully moves all of his chess pieces that these little bits are kind of slipping away with him telling Sansa truths. Mm. You don't tell truths.
I'm excited about it because that means us as the audience also gets a little bit of truth from the finger, so looking forward to that.
No, it's exciting. I mean, and you really just see how manipulative he is, and just something like, as I was talking about before, like basically all of this show was started because of Littlefinger.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything, how this show started was Littlefinger. That's what started the show. I mean, the Daenerys stuff.
Such a little finger.
Maybe not, but I mean, like, he's such a little finger.
Doop.
The pinky finger.
Started everything.
But, yeah.
We seriously need to, like, make some sort of image and send it to the Twitter world.
The verse.
Do it up.
The Twitterverse. So, guys, that's going to wrap us up. So let's go ahead and talk about predictions, I suppose.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Ooh.
I really can't say anything.
Wow,
but
that's pretty creepy. That's
Kristen and Autumn. And, guys, again, in the chat, please, if you actually, like, for the prediction stuff, if you do know what's going to happen, please refrain for the people who haven't read the books to just, like, spoil things.
Because
other people do read the comments, so please try to refrain from that. But speaking of which, Kristen and Autumn, what do you guys think?
Well, I obviously think that Oberyn will get his justice because this is just the beginning of his list. And don't kill off a character who's got this list of revenge. Like, they're not killing Arya anytime soon. You're not going to kill Oberyn because he's got to fulfill that list. So he's obviously going to epically somehow climb that mountain and shut it down.
Nice. Yeah,
I like that one. That was good.
That was proof of that. Yeah, that was a good one. The only thing that I would say about that, because I agree with you, especially since if Oberyn wins, then you keep him and Tyrion, and that's a lot more interesting than keeping the Mountain. I think we can safely say that the Mountain is less of a
fan favorite.
Less of a fan favorite.
He's my favorite.
Who is that guy again?
No, I'm kidding.
I'm waiting until the fourth one.
I know. I would lose so much respect, and I have respect for you.
He's my favorite.
You're entitled to your opinion, I promise, even if it's wrong.
I lost the bet.
I think that was it.
That was it. Autumn's the winner today.
Thank you.
Tell her what she's won.
Dignity, I suppose.
This fancy after buzz mug.
And that necklace full of poison.
Yay!
Oh, I guess this could be, shouldn't it?
Could be.
No, but what I was saying was the one thing is it would be so triumphant and so almost predictable in that way, it almost scares me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that will happen, but I feel like there's got to be some caveat. There has to be some kind of gauntlet thrown in that changes the direction of it, because as much as I would like it to be, and he wins and he gets his justice and Tyrion's okay, there's got to be something.
Maybe he's going to lose his legs and then he'll be a dwarf too.
Aww.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just
saying. Would he still be number one on your list without legs?
Yes.
I don't blame you.
It's all about the swagger.
Yeah,
it is swagger and that body.
It's all about the way you carry yourself. It absolutely is, especially in the Game of Thrones and in our world as well, our game.
Plus, we already know he's an excellent lover.
No, but I just feel like you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Something terrible has to happen in the fight. He's got to get maimed. Something bad is going to happen to him.
There's got to be an outside source affecting it. Cersei's got to intersect herself.
It's not going to be easy. Maybe after he wins, they still do something to Tyrion. That's probably what's going to happen. I think Sansa is obviously going to lie for Littlefinger.
Okay. Interesting. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap up. So, guys, once again, thank you so much for joining us. We're sorry about the live stream issues and the iTunes issues. We were trying to get it fixed as soon as possible. But you can tweet out, and let me find this, but I'll find it and say it at the end. But once again, guys, I'm Dave Klein. You can find me at the Dave Klein. That's K-L-E-I-N. And why don't you guys go look at who you can tweet out if you're frustrated about it.
All right, I am Autumn Chiklis, and you can find me at Autumn Chiklis on Twitter, or you can find me on the AfterBuzz show, Cosmos.
I'm Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, and you can tweet me at Cinematic Escape, or you can check out my blog, Cinematic Escape.
And I'm Kyle Maddock, and you can find me, I wish, at Kyle Maddock, but that was taken, at Mad Canard, like the duck, and you can check me out on a podcast of Ice and Fire if you're a book reader.
And if you guys are frustrated about the iTunes issue or the live stream issue, tweet out at SiteGround, SiteGround, to ask them to fix this for us. That's who's not doing the server and helping us out, who we have our server on. So, guys, thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.